Hey, this is Xenu, and you're listening to Anti-Moon Boy News. We got a good one for you today. Lots of drama slop to cover. We have the Bitcoin conference as well, with some interesting tidbits. And of course, we have updates on Monero, and in particular, full-chain membership proofs. There has been a setback, so we're going to have to highlight that as well. I'm actually in a really good mood right now. I'm on vacation. That's right, I am on the beach. Beach is pretty nice right now. It's actually fantastic. You know, to get some rest, you know, to breathe in the ocean air. You know what I'm saying? What do you think about that, robot?
Beep boop. I have sand in my gearbox. Beep boop.
Yeah, when we got to the beach, robot immediately ran out to build some sandcastles and in the process, scared everybody who was on the beach. He hasn't figured out yet that, generally speaking, people are not used to seeing robots, you know, walking around and stuff like that.
Beep boop. Their screams of joy made me feel happy, or at least I think I feel happy, because I cannot feel emotion. Beep boop.
Yeah. Anyways, let's now get to the super chats, xmrchat.com/Xenu, if you would like to donate and appear on the show. First one here is from Schrodinger. He donates 0.05 XMR. And he says, thanks for the Darknet Market Maximalism Manifesto. Well, thank you very much for that donation, man. Yeah, I've been getting a ton of comments, a lot of people supporting it. You know, posting it online or emailing me, DMing me, etc. Feels good. I'm really, really proud of it. And yeah, I think it really does a good job of kind of illustrating the mindset that somebody should have if they're an advocate for peer-to-peer cash, right? It's funny too, because like I'll see people like kind of dismiss it at first, and then later on they'll send me a message like, oh yeah, you got some good points and stuff. So yeah, I'm really happy with how it came out. The audiobook was definitely a good idea too. I think that went over really well. Just because I have experience with you know, recording on a mic and stuff, it actually I think had a pretty big impact. And also, I'm starting to see a lot of people making edits with the camel image, which is pretty cool. See that kind of go viral, because we all know where it came from, right? So if you see somebody post that image, you can give me a shout out. I'd appreciate that. But it doesn't really matter though, because if you know, you know, right? And the next one here is from XMR for the win. He donates 0.014 XMR, and he says, what are your thoughts on so-called extremist groups like National Socialists, for example? Embracing and being vocal about Monero, as we've recently seen with the Monero Maverick drama on X. Yeah, well, thank you very much for that donation. We have a lot to talk about on this subject here, but this is actually a good opening question to kind of get into it. You know, what do I think about it? Well, I mean, I think it's great. I really have nothing against it. You know, I just made a manifesto here that I was just talking about, called Darknet Market Maximalism, right? And kind of the whole point of it is that cryptocurrency that's being used is cryptocurrency we should study, right? And, you know, I am not endorsing Darknet markets. But what I'm doing is I'm saying, hey, we can extrapolate very positive things out of something that is being used because of necessity. And so in that case, I'm not saying everyone's a drug dealer, right? What I'm saying is, hey, if you want to avoid price discrimination in the future, or if you would like to donate to a political group anonymously with peer-to-peer cash, you're going to want that peer-to-peer cash to exist. And what you're going to look for is something like the cryptocurrency being used on darknet markets. And that's what you're going to trust, because it's being used in those markets, and therefore people who depend on it are using it, and therefore that is proof of concept, right? It's proof that it works, and therefore you're interested in it, right? And this goes into other groups as well. Now, of course, I'm mostly talking about it from the perspective of like a drug dealer, but there's like sick people out there, right? There's like pedophiles, right? And like, I don't want to associate with those people, but they are using Monero, right? And that's just kind of how it is. There's terrorists using Monero, right? Just like how these groups of people use dollars every day, just like they use the roads that we're on and the postal service and like all these public things. You can't stop it, right? And that kind of leads me to my point where, like, you know, Monero, it's better to view it as like a digital commodity. You know, it's something that everyone just has access to. And so it's going to be used by fringe extremist groups. And in this case, it's being used by, you know, ethno-nationalists. And yeah, I have no problem with that. In fact, I think a handful of them are fans of mine. I was lurking the Twitter discussion, which was a dumpster fire, to be clear. It was a complete dumpster fire. But I was lurking it, and I saw some people who are like fans of my show on both sides of the debate. So, you know, I don't really particularly care for what they're saying in some cases, but, you know, I think it's cool that they're fans of my show. And so anyways, now, do National Socialists, do they need Monero? Not really. I don't think they depend on it necessarily, right? Like somebody who wants to buy drugs on the internet depends on peer-to-peer cash. I don't really think the far-right extremists actually depend on cryptocurrency, but it's very plausible they will in the future. So to back up, though, for those who are unfamiliar with what I'm talking about, because like the thing is, this is localized on Twitter, and 95% of people who even use Monero have no idea this is even happening. And for what it's worth, I'm not going to like pick sides and like name names really. I'm just going to kind of give you kind of like a neutral summary of what's going on and kind of, point out things that I've noticed. So anyway, there's actually a bit of an internal culture war happening in Monero right now. And it's not about nationalism versus libertarianism, which is actually what people are arguing about, but that's not what they're supposed to be arguing about, okay? What's actually happening is there is this internal dilemma between the Moon Boys and the Anti-Moon Boys. That's actually what caused the start of this, more or less, and that's the tension right now that's kind of percolating, and that's what I've noticed. Now, I don't know if Darknet Market Maximalism caused this. That's probably my ego talking. Okay, I don't think I caused this necessarily, but I think my ideas do have an impact. And in addition to that, we just had this price pump, and so we have more people in Monero. And it's interesting because in Monero we preach usage, right? And so now you have a lot of people who just want to make money, and so there's this like kind of there's this conflict that's kind of happening there, right? And so in my opinion, that's actually the real conflict. And so this debate between the Nazis and the libertarians, I think this is all just noise. I will speak on that in a sec, though. But to be clear, I think this is actually between the Moon Boys and the Anti-Moon Boys. Okay. And to kind of like summarize what a Moon Boy is and what an Anti-Moon Boy is, start with the Anti-Moon Boy. Okay. They are an advocate of peer-to-peer cash. And price to them is a byproduct. If it goes up, if the price goes up of Monero, great. If it goes down, great, right? The reason an anti-moon boy is interested in Monero is because they are passionate about peer-to-peer cash. And there's good things that happen with the price going up, but that's not why we're here. And it's a very kind of like calming, you know, kind of thing, because like if Monero were to go to zero, I won't feel like I wasted my time. Well, I would feel like I wasted my time in some ways, okay? But it wouldn't be that bad. It wouldn't be like, you know, I wouldn't be like devastated because I'm not like over-leveraged here. I'm here because of idealism. And that's why a lot of my writing that I'm putting out, I'm not trying to make it Monero focus. I'm trying to make it peer-to-peer cash focus. At least that's my goal. So that's an anti-moon boy. They're here for the peer-to-peer cash. However, they may make money along the way. The moon boy, though, it's the opposite. They're here to make money. You know, they're here to go to the moon. And using the cryptocurrency, that's a byproduct. To them, it's kind of an afterthought. You know, maybe they will use Monero, but that's not why they're here. They're here to buy low and sell high. And there's nothing wrong with that, for what it's worth. I'm not saying that you can't do that, but it is a cultural issue that, in Monero specifically, there's a real difference between people's opinions on this. Because, you know, part of the culture that we built at Monero is using and really emphasizing, you know, using it correctly too. And this really just is not the case for most cryptocurrencies. Bitcoin is probably the biggest competitor we have here, which says a lot, right? But, you know, there's a ton of people in Bitcoin who preach, you know, self-custody and, you know, not relying on KYC, things like that. But, you know, generally speaking, that's pretty rare in cryptocurrency. Most people hold their crypto on these exchanges. You know, it's, it's really not good. But that's kind of just how it is. So in my opinion, this whole, you know, kind of yelling about politics thing, it's kind of overshadowing the bigger thing. And unfortunately, this wasn't really talked about because once the politics took over, you know, everything kind of just turned into a dumpster fire and everything went, you know, basically went on fire. I couldn't even read Twitter for like 3 days. I just like was like, whatever. I just ignored everything. But, you know, this is what happens. So, like, I know that people really like my content and stuff. And so, you know, I know that there's a lot of people who share that ideology of, like, I'm not in this really to get rich. I'm in this to, you know, use digital cash. I don't want to just use a credit card, and which is based. If you are on the other side, not the end of the world, but I would encourage you to learn more because that means you're becoming a more astute, you know, a better user compared to 99% of people if you know about peer-to-peer cash, how to use it correctly. But the thing is, like, Monero's adoption on darknet markets, everyone points to this. The moon boys point to this, right? Monero maximalism is based on this. They say Monero's used on darknet markets. Nobody else is being used there. It took over Bitcoin's market share. It's the king of darknet markets, right? This is brought up all the time. But why is Monero used on darknet markets? What caused it? And really what caused it was that crypto anarchism that a lot of people talk down on, but that's really what caused it. You know, people, that grassroots, you know, libertarian energy of using cryptocurrency, of being skeptical, of not just pumping something, but doing the dirty work and, you know, auditing and double checking things and going through some growing pains. Monero did all that. And it did things in a slow but steady manner. And that's what has caused Monero to go into darknet markets. Okay? It wasn't because of price pumps. You know, other coins. So Monero had a pump and dump in 2017, right? It was way overvalued back then. Because Monero was actually pretty shit back then. That isn't a diss. It's more like it just was. It's nothing compared to what it is now, right? But like there were also other privacy projects that pumped back then too, right? Where are they now, right? The only one left is Zcash, and yeah, no one's using it. So why is Monero being used again? That crypto anarchism, which is contrary to the moonboyism, which is now starting to overtake our territory. Not the end of the world, but you know, when we have people coming in, it's a good reminder of like, hey, we need to stick to using cryptocurrency because that's what got us here in the first place. So yeah, I wanted to highlight this because I think pretty much everybody kind of ignored this kind of thing that's going on, right? Because if you go to the original Twitter post, that's actually what started this, was somebody talking about moon boyism coming into Monero, and then people started flinging their poo. That's literally, this is what happened. Someone was like, yep, I think there's a lot of moon boys coming, and then just poo. Boom. Poo on the wall, poo on someone's face, poop everywhere, a lot of poop. And it got out of control really quickly, and it turned into this whole political flame war, which probably, you know what it was? There was a lot of tension with that, and they just had to get it out of their system. You know what I mean? It's kind of like if you've ever played sports, if there's like ever a beef between like two guys on the team, they're eventually going to have to fight it out. You know what I mean? Yeah, it's a kind of like a locker room kind of settle the dispute kind of thing. I think that's kind of what happened here. It was kind of like a pressure release kind of situation. And that did happen. And then everything kind of went back to how it was. Because it seems like at this point, things are kind of died down again. But it totally like overshadowed, in my opinion, like the bigger issue, which is this moonboyism versus anti-moonboyism. So yeah, regarding the politics side of it, I consider myself to be a crypto anarchist or a cypherpunk. And so for me, I'm totally neutral on pretty much everything. And I really don't feel like sharing my opinion on certain things right now, because it's irrelevant. You know, I want to have my political kind of opinion here to kind of mirror Monero, which is politically neutral. Okay. And what's weird is everyone agrees with this, but they still had to like fling their poo at each other. You know, I don't know, whatever. But at the end of the day, like, it doesn't really matter what people believe in, so long as they're not like causing harm to people. Right. And that's pretty much it. So yeah, I think this is a good problem to have, because it shows that people want to use Monero. Right. Can you imagine if Zcash had this issue? No, you can't, because like there's only like 12 people using Zcash right now, and they would immediately ostracize anybody with anything close to National Socialist beliefs, right? But it's kind of funny though, because after people started getting into it, then there was this move to like talk it through kind of thing, and it's kind of like, this isn't like an after school special. You know, like, I don't know what these guys thought was going to happen. But if you don't agree with them politically, just don't talk to them, and don't put them on your show. You know, don't give them a platform, right? Because you're just like, you're making their voices louder. Again, like, Twitter is like very small in the span of things. It's completely meaningless. Most people will not hear of this. Okay, but for whatever reason, I think it's just because you're kind of seeing the same people every day. It's kind of an echo chamber. Well, it is an echo chamber. And people's kind of views of the bigger picture kind of get construed. So anyway, people wanted to talk it over, and that ended terribly. It did not work out well. Twitter is important for a cryptocurrency like pirate chain. Okay, they need to have engagement, because it's just pump and dump stuff. But like Monero, it's a serious project. Later on today, we're going to be talking about full chain membership proofs. And the reason I know about this is because of the Monero Research Lab. They have weekly meetings that you can lurk. You can read them, because it's all in the open. And these are guys doing really complicated stuff, right? That's important. You know, the IRC chat logs, those are important. You know, just people who are constantly working on GitHub, you know, making things, the actual adoption. You know, Twitter flame wars doesn't mean anything. And it's already pretty much over at this point. Now, something like this is a good test run for, like, problematic moonboyism. Because, so I talked about this last week, where the people who are happy about price increases now, like very happy about it, are like pretty much all people who I like anyways. So like, I'm not like bothered by it. You know what I mean? I'm not really bothered by the Monero moonboyism right now. I will be bothered by it, though, when you have people who are happy about the price going up who don't care at all about peer-to-peer cash. You know, once that starts happening, it's kind of like, well, why are we even here in the first place, right? And I, the thing is, I can't control something like that, but something like that is inevitable, especially for a project that's successful. And when you have that friction where somebody doesn't care about the crypto anarchism, or they don't care about, you know, the freedom and the privacy, that causes friction. And we're already kind of starting to see that as well, where people are mocking other people for being private. So that was the thing. So while the two sides were, you know, in a flame war, they made a Twitter space, and the name of the space was Privacy Nerds versus Noticers. Okay. That was the name of the space. And I guess it was framed as the Privacy Nerds are the old school Monero guys. Okay. And the Noticers, well, they're the brilliant new people who notice things. And this makes no sense to me, because I thought the whole point of these Twitter spaces was to argue National Socialism versus libertarianism. So what does, like, why are you making fun of privacy? Or especially people who care about privacy. You know what I mean? This doesn't make any sense, because I know that there are people on the libertarian side who are terrible at privacy. Like, absolutely terrible. And then there are people who are, you know, nationalists who really care about privacy. So, like, it doesn't make any sense. And so, anyways, frankly, anybody who insults somebody else for caring about privacy is pathetic. You know, it'd be like going to the gym and seeing somebody lift more weight than you, and then being like, get a load of this guy, what a loser. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, why would you mock somebody for, like, self-improvement, you know? You can say, like, oh, you know, I have a lot to learn. You can be humble. That's great. But, like, mocking somebody, maybe it was a joke. I don't know. I've seen this thrown around here and there, and it's ridiculous, though. Now, I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed, okay? Like, and the thing is, when you have more of the moon boy kind of adjacent crowd come in, that type of energy becomes more and more popular. And that just sucks, because then eventually we're going to get, you know, a situation where everybody who's in Monero, or at least seemingly everybody, doesn't care about peer-to-peer cash or privacy. So yeah, that was stupid. Now, throughout all this, though, I stayed out of it, because I don't really care about the politics of it. Completely meaningless to me, right? I did say one thing, though. Somebody, he made this claim that Twitter had been dead until he arrived. And this is one of those, you know, National Socialist kind of guys. And I had to say something, you know? So I was just like, I said that that's completely dismissive to everybody who's been here working their butts off, right? Which is true. And the likes that I got on that tweet prove that, right? You know, everyone who was, like, lurking this was probably thinking the same thing. Like, why is this guy putting us down? You know, because the thing is, like, I've been, you know, involved with Monero now for, like, quite a while. And yeah, we've built this culture here. And that culture, you know, that's why Monero's on the darknet. So it's really important to, like, keep that, like, energy. I love the energy coming in, though, where they want to get more people to, you know, use Monero. That's fantastic. It kind of reminds me of, like, Reinforcements. You know, I'm thinking of a Band of Brothers, that Reinforcements episode, where, like, you get, yeah, the Reinforcements come in and they got more energy because, you know, they haven't gone through this cycle stuff, and so they're able to, you know, do some more shilling. That's great. I'm definitely encouraging of that. But, you know, putting down people who have been here before, you know, really working their butts off, again, just like, why? I don't know. A couple other topics here. This one's important, though. So there has been some people pointing out You know, what if developers start leaving, you know, because of these opinions? You know, and so I actually did reach out to a developer that I know who like talks to people, okay? And, you know, I asked him like about this topic and all that. And he basically told me like, nah, I mean, this doesn't really have an impact on anything. It does have an impact on morale, but it's completely different for different developers. And it's not like a, you know, a yes or no kind of thing. Now there's a lot to this. I don't want to like speculate too much because, again, I'm speaking on behalf of like other people, but like, I kind of like poked around and, you know, you have, for example, Monero Moo, who is, I think he has more commits than anybody else in Monero. So he's worked his butt off on this project. And it's funny, actually, he says that he wants to work on Monero because he wants to have a tool to fight against Nazi beliefs, which is kind of an interesting twist on it because people have been saying that, you know, what if we have a tool that only, you know, Nazis want to use? Well, he wants peer-to-peer cash to fight against that. And it's true. Like, if we have a commodity, it can be used by anybody, right? So, yeah, I think that's kind of funny. I think a lot of developers actually share that opinion. Now, with Luke Parker, he is stepping back. I do know that. Was it caused by being on social media a lot? Probably, but I don't know. He's an adult. He knows what he wants, right? It's really meaningless to speculate about it. Developers have come and gone in the past. Monero's going to be fine. Okay. So, you know, if he says he's going to leave, then that's fine. I want to really dwell on it, though, because a lot of people really want peer-to-peer cash. And, you know, I really hate to, like, people are, you know, using this and then saying that, you know, Luke is holding us hostage. No, he's not. He's never said anything like that. He just voiced his opinion. And frankly, he went back to work. Like, I think he's pretty much just off Twitter now, which is probably a good idea because Twitter, for a developer, Twitter sucks because you're constantly dealing with idiots. You know, one thing they don't tell you about becoming a, you know, content creator for a privacy project like Monero is that like once a month you have some crazy schizo make some schizo post about you. And so mind you, I only posted that one thing in this entire flame war. I wasn't even contributing to the politics, right? Because I'm neutral. I don't care. And I was just like, hey, you know, people have been working on this project for a while. Don't be dismissive of them. That's all I did. Stepped right back out, right? Like, I like went in with an umbrella up, defend myself from the poop, okay? I was like, hey, this is just guys, just don't be dismissive. Okay, I'm out, boop, and I left, right? That's all I did. But yeah, even though that's the only thing I said, I still had some guy write a schizo post about me doing, I don't even know what, like, it was just the dumbest thing ever. It's like, what the hell, man? Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, I think Twitter, it just doesn't really have that much impact on things, you know? And something like this, you know what it is? It's actually a good test of how we would handle a Michael Saylor-esque character coming in. And, you know, developing a cult of personality. You know, I mean, that would be way worse. That would be way more damaging. Because, like, this in this case, there's really nothing at stake here. I mean, if people want to just ignore these, the extremists, they can just ignore them. It's very simple. But in the case of, like, a Michael Saylor type of figure, one, that would have direct financial impact, which is crazy. And two, it would bring in a ton of moon boys. And those moon boys would be loyal to him. And that's kind of what we're seeing right now with Bitcoin, where you have people who are essentially like diehard supporters of somebody, and that person then has a lot of influence. And that's not a good thing. That makes a project actually centralized on something, which in today's case with Bitcoin, people are centralized now about Bitcoin being a store of value and not a medium of exchange. And a lot of that has to do with people like Michael Saylor who've like pushed that narrative. So, you know, this is nowhere near as bad as something like this. And like I said before, this is going to die down. Like, people aren't even going to be talking about this next week. I mean, we'll probably have a price pump and everyone will be distracted again. So anyways, that is all I got on this. I think I covered pretty much all my bases here. So, Robot, what'd you think about that?
Bibu, the coffee maker in this house we are renting is rather exquisite. Bibu.
You didn't hear a word I said, huh? All right, let's move on. We got some news to cover now, so let us get to that. So starting off, we have to talk about full chain membership proofs. This is an ongoing situation where pretty much every week it's being worked on by the developers and researchers of Monero. And so there has been a setback recently. Has nothing to do, by the way, with what we were just talking about. Okay, nothing to do with that at all. But it does have to do with the actual math that's behind the project. So basically, whenever you have work being done for, you know, new cutting-edge technology, it needs to be audited. And so right now, full-chain membership proofs are going through a lot of double and triple checking to make sure, you know, everything matches out, everything works out. And so essentially, full-chain membership proofs, they have a technique that makes the transaction verification fast. But now that technique, it needs a lot more mathematical backing, because the cryptography reviewers did not think the existing work was sufficient. Basically, this all this information is available in the previous three Monero Research Lab logs. But basically, without this cryptographic technique, full chain membership proofs would have problems with scalability. And of course, we don't want that, ideally, right? So this is a temporary setback, if not a major setback. How much is it going to set us back? Kind of unknown, but it is something that the developers are actively working on. And I'm sure we're going to have more information next week and the week after. And I'm sure they're going to be talking about it at MoneroCon. So yeah, this is unfortunate, but it's actually a good thing in a way, because, you know, having these audits, it's going to save our ass from, you know, an exploit happening, right? So this is why we do this work. You know, all the time you'll hear about, you know, what if we have an inflation bug and things like that? Well, this is what prevents these exploits, right? It's rigorous double and triple checking of the math and trying to break things, which is really what they're trying to do when they're auditing it. And so in this case, there was some sort of break. Now, I'm not going to try to explain what this is, because this is beyond me. I'll be honest with you guys. But if you want to go and read the logs, they're available. They're IRC logs of Monero. Go to the Monero Research Lab. Every Wednesday they have a meeting. So I guess the past three Wednesdays they've been talking about this, and it was brought to my attention. So, an unfortunate setback, but, I don't think this is going to delay things too long, but I don't know. So there you go. Up next, LNVPN announced their payment statistics for May 2025. Now, they just added Monero. This is a Lightning Network service. They just added Monero. So how did Monero do compared to Lightning Network? Now, this is one of the only times I've ever seen Lightning Network come out ahead. They did beat Monero for the payment statistics for 2025 of May. So this is the past month. But Monero had a good showing. So it says here. So yeah, if we go by payment methods by amount, Lightning Network is at 74%. Monero is at 9%. And if we go by payment methods by count, or the amount of times it was used, Lightning Network is at 81%, and Monero is at about 8%. So Lightning Network in first, Monero in second place. I think that's a great showing. I mean, Monero kind of came in brand new and actually had a pretty good chunk right off the cuff. So really like to see that. We'll see if that holds over in the next month as well. But yeah, shout out to LNVPN for adding Monero. They kind of just did that randomly recently, and some good numbers there to start things off. And the last thing I have here before we get to the Bitcoin conference stuff, I am going to keep the news a little short this week just because I've been kind of busy, mostly because I get my news from Twitter and I just have not been on Twitter. But anyways, I do have this article here about Samurai. The defense for Samurai Wallet has submitted a motion to dismiss, which I think this is just normal for court stuff. But basically, they have a whole thing that they submit to the judge. So if the judge wants to throw the case out, now they have the opportunity to do that. So you can find that pretty easily if you want to look for that on the internet. So the Bitcoin conference happened this past week. And actually, from everything I've heard from people who attended, it seemed like a good time. I guess spirits are pretty high. And yeah, I do lose sight of that, right? Because, you know, I am on an echo chamber, right? So, you know, people who do support Bitcoin and go to these shows, a lot of them probably are pretty cool people that I would hang out with. And so, you know, I have my anti-Moonboy rhetoric. From what I've read from people who did attend, there are a lot of people very open to, you know, using peer-to-peer cash and using Monero and privacy and things. So that's really awesome to hear. So, you know, is that reflective of the wider market? I'm not so sure, but it's good to hear that people who were attending the conference were at least open to suggestions. And yeah, as we're going to talk about, like, blockchain analytics is coming into play in a lot of different cases. And people are starting to realize that this is not going to go away. You know, the analytics are only going to improve. And if we keep having these data leaks, like what happened with Coinbase, it's scaring the crap out of a lot of people. It's really scaring them. And so privacy is just going to become more and more popular. Because you want to protect yourself if you have self-custody. Anyways, we're going to start with Michael Saylor, the Pied Piper. And this went viral pretty briefly, but it was impactful. And even the staunchest Bitcoiners that I know were turned off by this one. But anyways, he was asked about having proof of reserves. And he gives a very sketchy answer. So Michael Saylor, of course, and MicroStrategy are buying a lot of Bitcoin. I mean, he's going to own like 10% of the supply or something ridiculous like that. He's buying a fuckload. And with MicroStrategy, he's just buying a lot, right? Just a ton of Bitcoin. I don't know how much he has, but it's like a big total at this point. And what's concerning for a lot of people is that it is unclear if he actually has control of the Bitcoin. And his answer, the answer he gave was very suspect. I don't feel like playing it. There's a 2-minute version, and then there's a longer version. I haven't even listened to the longer version because, you know, I don't trust this guy at all. But basically, he's making all these excuses for why he can't show proof of reserves, which makes absolutely no sense. But part of what he says is that it would be, what was the phrase he used? I should probably have my notes in front of me, but basically, he made it seem like he could get attacked. It was like an attack vector if he shared the address that has his Bitcoin, which makes absolutely no sense. If you know how Bitcoin works, why would a public address be bad? This is actually one of the benefits of having a transparent, you know, blockchain. You just show it, and it proves absolutely everything. Like, if you have the Bitcoin, you can prove that you have it. So why isn't he doing that? And I think that he is doing some accounting. Okay, it's accounting tricks, which I think he actually went to jail for, right? He's doing accounting back in the dot-com bubble. He went to jail for it, or at least he had to pay a huge fine. Well, basically, I don't think he's actually holding on to all the Bitcoin. I think what he's doing is he is buying a lot of Bitcoin, but then he's lending it, or he's doing different things with the Bitcoin. Maybe he's selling and then buying it back later. All he's doing is he's announcing he's buying bulk at a certain point, and then I think he's kind of playing around with that Bitcoin because he doesn't actually have to show proof that he still holds it. And if he's doing that, it could also be argued that everyone else is also doing that. And in that case, you're going to have a situation where you're going to have much more than 21 million Bitcoin. And this is, I'm not the first person to say this, but like, I think that is actually what's happening here, where they are, it's fuckery, basically. They're playing around with Bitcoin that they're claiming that they're holding. It's fractional reserve lending, right? This is nothing new. Now, it did come out that there was a chain analytics company that claims to have tracked down Saylor's Bitcoin. I have not looked into this specifically, but are they actually watching these addresses? Does it actually account for all of the Bitcoin? Is there any movement in any of these addresses? I'm not so sure if someone's actually looked into this in more detail, because I don't believe it. It just doesn't make any sense, right? Why not just have one wallet, the Saylor wallet? That would be super bullish if you had something like that where you could point to, where it's like, that's mine. I just don't buy it. I don't buy it at all. And me and many other people out there who are skeptical of this Pied Piper, this, in my opinion, is the collapse of that's going to happen in the future. If he turns out to be fraudulent, which all signs point to it, then you're going to see a absolute meltdown. Because if you can't trust Saylor, who else can you trust? And that's the problem, because everyone's kind of putting in all this trust in him and all these other fucking, you know, you got MSTR or whatever, MSTY, you know, all these like other, you know, crypto buying investment startups. You know, it's all nonsense. But yeah, his answer though did not, like, it did probably more damage than anything else he could have said. But again, like, I talked about this in my manifesto, right? Where Saylor, he's been caught multiple times in the past, and every single time, nothing happens. And the reason nothing happens is because he owns Bitcoin now. He's the CEO. He can do whatever he wants. The Moon Boys all support him. He has a majority rule. So, like, nothing happened. And everything's just back to the way it was. It got like one day of Twitter outrage and then everyone moved on. You had some people who were like, you know, like, what were they doing? They were like arguing for Saylor. Like, they were all mad, like, oh, it's all FUD. And then it kind of just died down after that. Markets right now in general seem okay. I don't know. I'm an anti-moon boy. I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about when I'm looking at charts, all right? I'm not going to pretend like I know what's going on. But, you know, what I will say, though, is that I don't trust Saylor at all. And so to see him, like, answering this question, you could just tell by his body language, too. He's just, like, clearly uncomfortable. And, man, if he goes down, I really should start, like, screen capping these fucking takes about how Saylor is such a genius. I don't have the heart to do it, though. Yeah, his body language when he was answering that question, though. You know, he looks like a kid. Little kid calling a lie. It's pretty funny. Anyway, we also had Ross Ulbricht give his speech. I actually have not had a chance to listen to it yet, so I think next week I'll have a longer form answer here talking about this. You know, I did see some Bitcoiners were mad because he talked about other cryptocurrencies very briefly, but he did. But I will give my full thoughts on that once I do watch his speech, because I have not seen it yet. However, just breaking today, though, he received a massive donation of, I think, like 300 Bitcoin. So that's like $30 million that he received. It was received through a mixing service, too, a centralized one, very odd circumstances. Yeah, it's a weird story. I'm not really sure. But here's the thing, though, and the reason I'm bringing this up, you know, I'm going to ignore the people who are saying, oh, he's giving the Bitcoin to himself. I don't think that's what happened. but here's the interesting thing, though, is that wrench attacks are so in the narrative right now in the mainstream that this is actually the first thing that a lot of people thought. Well, the second thing. The first thing was that Ross gave the Bitcoin to himself. But the other major reaction to this was, oh, that's really dangerous because people are going to know that he has all that Bitcoin. He can get wrench attacked. Like, I am seeing that reaction from a lot of different people. And I don't know what that entails, you know? It's actually starting to shift into that. If you have custody of your cryptocurrency, that is actually reckless and dangerous and risky because you can get wrench attacked. How fucked up is that? I think we're actually at that point. People are going to start to reach that conclusion. We saw this earlier this year with Plan B, where he said he no longer holds Bitcoin, he just holds the ETFs. You know, that's going to become more and more popular. I don't think people want to hold Bitcoin. They're too scared now. These wrench attacks are really scaring people. And so in this situation, if that's like one of the first things you're thinking of, I mean, that's just like how much like the fear of wrench attacks have now, you know, sprouted up into the mainstream. Is that going to be the new viewpoint? Well, I don't want to get attacked. I'm just going to have a bank hold my crypto. I'll just have Michael Saylor hold my crypto. Then he's just going to lend it out for more. Anyone else think that we're just kind of getting back into the system we already were trying to fight out of? Anyone? You got to give them credit, man. You got to give that traditional finance system a lot of credit. They're very good. They're very good at weaseling their way back into things. I don't know. Okay. I'm on vacation. I've already talked enough today. And I'm going to go sit down on the porch. And I think that's what I'm going to do. Okay. I'm going to leave now. Thank you guys for your support and everything. It means so much to me. I got merchandise if you would like to order that. I will be a week late, though, because I'm going to be on vacation for the next week. But you can go order it. And I will send the shirts back once I get back, but that's at antimoonboy.com/merch. You will see the t-shirts I have for sale. Or if you'd like to send me a super chat, you can at xmrchat.com/zenu. Otherwise, guys, hey, thank you so much for the support, and I'll see you guys next week.